listening to the NMF Podcast with Dennis Devlin.
Good evening. Tonight's show is brought to you in association with Behead Clothing Glasgow. That's behedclothing.co.uk. Remember, let's speak up and be heard. The NMF Podcast with Dennis Devlin in association with behedclothing.co.uk. Well, good evening and welcome to a very special edition of the NMF Podcast with me, Dennis Devlin, in association with behedclothing.co.uk. And tonight, we have got Johnny from Apollo Junction coming up later in the show. But first, three great songs in a row, back-to-back, kicking off with this one. This is the Banes, Like This Forever.
This radio station plays more music like this.
Take my hand, open up
This radio station plays more music like this.
Take the time. One more day inside a dying fantasy. Loving how we used to live a lie. We ought to know way back before the times were changed to our time. Open your eyes and take a breath to realize we weren't alive.
There you go, three great songs in a row, back to back. That's The Cooks and I Wonder. Before that, The Amazing Land With Me by Arcade State. And of course, kicking the three songs off in a row, back to back to Beans and Like This Forever. Coming up after the break, I talk to Johnny from Apollo Junction. All that to come straight after this. Good evening. Tonight's show is brought to you in association with Behead Clothing Glasgow. That's beheadclothing.co.uk. Remember, let's speak up and be heard. The NMF Podcast with Dennis Devlin in association with BeheadClothing.co.uk. There's something new happening on the terraces. There's a new cult. Terrace Cult Clothing. Check them out now at Terrace Cult Clothing. TerraceCult.com. Behead Clothing Glasgow at beheadclothing.co.uk. Kids sale now on, save up to 50%. Just go to beheadclothing.co.uk, enter promo code KIDS50. That's Behead Clothing Glasgow at beheadclothing.co.uk.
Amazing deals now on at Currys PC World. Check out these Hot Point steam washers. This 8 kilo is only £249, or trade up to the 9 kilo for just £30 more. Plus, there's free delivery. Save up to £500 on these 2020 Samsung QLED TVs with spectacular picture detail. And no more messy wires with one near invisible cable from just £1,399. Get the new Fitbit Sense, the most advanced Fitbit health smartwatch for stress management, skin temperature, heart and health. And get free next day delivery on all Dyson cordless vacuums, including the V11 Absolute. Just £599 at Currys PC World.
It's New Year's Friday on the NFL Podcast with Dennis Devlin.
Good evening. Tonight's show is brought to you in association with Behead Clothing Glasgow. That's beheadclothing.co.uk. Remember, let's speak up and be heard. The NMF Podcast with Dennis Devlin in association with beheadclothing.co.uk.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to the NMF Podcast with me, Dennis Devlin, in association with beheadclothing.co.uk. And good afternoon, Johnny from Apollo Junction.
Good afternoon. Hello. How you doing?
It's great to have you on board, Johnny. Great to have you. Loving the music, by the way. Absolutely loving it.
No, thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
No, that's great, man. It's great. Johnny, what got you into music? What sort of got you on your musical journey?
Wow. That's a question. Where to start? Well, I guess I started when I was about 12, 13 years old. My granddad, bless him, he was a jazz drummer back in the day, and he gave me a drum kit that he had sort of going spare, which my parents were thrilled with. I started basically banging the drums in my bedroom, sort of ages 12, 13. The rest is history, really. I think, I kind of instantly fell in love with everything to do with the drums and went on some crazy journey being in various different bands. I did sort of music college when I was obviously a bit younger. Joined Apollo Junction, formed Apollo Junction with the other lads, a few years ago now. The rest is history, really. It's been a crazy sort of experience, really, over the last few years, but enjoying it every day.
Were you probably with your neighbours when you got your first drum kit?
to be fair, my neighbours directly to the house where I was growing up were he was massively into his music, so I think he enjoyed hearing me play more than my own parents, to be honest. He would regularly sort of come over and listen and ask me how I was doing. I mean, God, I must have been awful back then, but bless them, they massively supported me just with everything, really. So yeah, couldn't have asked for sort of better family and neighbours at the time. So yeah,
I always wonder that, because obviously when you're learning to play guitar, you always learn with acoustics, so it's not too bad. I can imagine learning to play drums at the very start, it can be, I can imagine living next door.
Yeah, a bit tedious. It's really difficult, you know, to be a drummer. And I've tried with the whole kind of electronic kit. Doesn't really do it for me, to be honest. We have one in our studio, which we sometimes use just to kind of write parts with and whatnot, just to get things straight into our kind of studio setup. But yeah, it's just not the same as having sort of a full sort of setup. I thankfully have got one now at home, which I managed to kind of convince the other half that I could do it. I've basically got sort of the silencer kind of pads on the kit now, so I can still play with the same sort of ferocity, but kind of half the sound, which is great. So it's good fun.
What's your favorite drum track? Is there any like drum solo that you just think, yeah, I like playing that?
So many to choose from, really. I guess influenced by, you know, I guess to my point earlier, really, my granddad was a jazz drummer, so I was kind of brought up originally on a lot of jazz music. Wow. Drummers like Buddy Rich and Gene Krupa,
Rich.
You know, phenomenal kind of drummers, you know, have tried and failed on many occasions to try and play at the sort of speed and you know, rhythm and the things that those guys did back in the day. So kind of on one hand, I love all of that stuff. And then I love kind of bands like, you know, like the Foo Fighters, where they've just got great, you know, just great kind of, you know, drum patterns and drum fills and things like that. And they're great songs to play along to and to kind of rock out to if you sort of needing a, you know, a dose of kind of hard rock, which is great. But yeah, I love kind of, you know, great bands that have great drummers in them that are kind of an integral part of the makeup of that band, really. You know, there's so many bands nowadays that you just wouldn't even know who the drummer was, you know, but I like bands where the drummer is kind of like almost as important as the frontman, really, in terms of how that band is seen, you know. Bands like the Foo Fighters and the Chili Peppers and, you know, even bands like the Arctic Monkeys, I guess the drummer is, yeah, you know, a really integral part of that sort of, you know, the sound and the songwriting process and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, sorry, a very long-winded answer to your question there.
No, Johnny, it's brilliant. Is it Nick Mason, who's the Pink Floyd drummer? Is that his name, Nick Mason?
Yes, I believe so, yeah.
I saw him warming up once, and I read a quote from him talking about being a drummer. He said, "We sit at the back, but we see the whole world from a totally different perspective."
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's a perspective that, you know, everyone in the band has their own sort of take on things on stage. But from a drummer's perspective, you know, only you kind of feel what we feel. Yeah. It's really hard. You know, we're not important, more important than any one member. You know, we play a role, but our role, you know, is, you know, keeping the songs kind of going, and we're in control of the tempo. We kind of feel the thud of the crowd and the audience, kind of the dynamic. You know, it's a perspective that I think only you get on the drum set. And yeah, it's just amazing, you know. It's, you know, to sit there behind the drums, and you know, it's yeah, it's a feeling that yeah, it's hard to describe.
Who's your inspiration to make music, Johnny? Who is your inspiration?
God, it's a good question. I think I'm influenced by everything, really. I think musically, I've got a really diverse kind of sort of collection of things that I listen to, you know. Really, you know, I'm a 90s sort of lad, so you know, influenced massively by bands like Oasis and Pulp and those kind of bands that I kind of grew up listening to. And you know, sort of as I got a bit older and sort of, you know, musical genres kind of, you know, widened a little bit, I'm sort of into sort of going back to sort of more things from the 80s, so like New Order and that kind of stuff. And then sort of recently been getting into sort of more sort of electronic sort of drum and bass music. So it's, you know, it's really varied, really. I think it's, you know, and I think you can hear that in our music. You know, we've got lots of influences, and you know, other members of the band have equally as sort of diverse influence as well. And when you sort of throw that all into the mix, and outspits our sound, really.
How would you, I mean, for those who might not know Apollo Junction and they've not heard of them, shame on them, they're about to get rid of Whitney. How would you describe the music you typically make?
It's a blend of, I guess, you know, a sort of 80s, 90s kind of sounds. So, you know, we have a keys player in our band, a synth player in our band who kind of comes up with all sorts of sort of amazing synth kind of keys parts, and we overlay that with, you know, big guitars and big drums and driving bass lines. And yeah, we sort of this weird hybrid of sort of indie electronic sort of it's really hard to describe, and I never really like answering that question because it's really hard to sort of articulate. But yeah, a blend of all sorts, really. You know, it's a blend of all sorts of wacky stuff.
I had a great description, Johnny, where somebody described you as new romantic indie rock.
Yeah, I'd go with that. Yeah, I mean, we got played on the radio a few weeks ago by Steve Lamack, and I think he described us as swaggering electro rock or something, which we thought, yeah, he's kind of got that to a T, to be honest. So we go with that now, swaggering electro rock.
Yeah, I like that. That's quite cool. Yeah, I quite like quite that. Cool. What's the creative process like in the band when you come together? For instance, in the studio, what's your creative process like? It must be amazing.
Yeah, it's, I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, the last sort of 18 months has been a real sort of, you know, had to sort of work completely differently in the last 18 months. But ordinarily, there's normally an idea from somebody. You know, so it might be like a guitar riff that somebody's kind of got, or, well, it'd be Matt or Ben usually, you know, or a keys part that Sam's come up with, or a vocal line that Jamie's kind of thought of. And, you know, we kind of come together with an idea that's usually come from somebody, and then we sort of unpick it, and it goes through a writing process where we all kind of bring something to the table, be that, you know, a sort of a revised structure to the song, or a new drum pattern, or whatever it might be. And it goes through a process of sort of being recorded as a demo. We're quite lucky. We've got a bit of a home studio sort of set up where we can kind of lay down semi good demos. And we sort of send them around to some of our sort of people outside of our sort of outside of the band, but sort of part of our team. So our sort of manager and our publisher and most importantly our producer as well. We've worked with the same producer for the last few years, and we send them all to him. He sends us feedback sort of back to us, and you know, we get the song into a really great position where we're all kind of happy with it, and then we'll take it into the studio and record it with our producer, and that usually happens. That's usually the process. So there's lots of toing and froing, but we kind of hit the studio process with normally a song that we kind of, you know, we're all kind of happy with before we go into the studio. Saves a lot of time and effort and money.
I can imagine. Yeah, has there ever been that wow moment? Have you ever, when you finish recording and you sit and the producer plays it back, have you ever had that? Oh, listen to that! That's a banger.
Yeah. I mean, we only try and write bangers, to be honest. I mean, you know, and in the studio, it always sounds amazing when you've got it on the big speakers, and you know, it's obviously designed in that studio, so it always sounds amazing. But yeah, I think on the second record that we've just finished, actually, you know, we as I said earlier, we kind of had to write that in a very different way with lockdown and how we sort of worked together last year. But yeah, we had a few moments where we were sort of, well, actually quite recently, where we kind of came together and we were putting the album together, which is a great moment when we've sort of spent the last 18 months sort of working on it. And we have that day where we come together and we sort of work out what song flows into what song, and, you know, what are the moments between songs, you know, where we kind of have those moments of stuff kind of going on. And yeah, we sort of sat down and we were all sort of really, I don't know, kind of... It's a weird process when you've kind of lived with something for so long. You've heard it in many different styles, you know, many different mixes and very different sort of stages of the process. And then to hear it finally in its kind of end point, it's a strange sort of a sense of pride, you know, because a lot of love and blood and sweat and tears have gone into it. And yeah, you sort of sit back and go, wow, this is, you know, whatever happens with it, you know, we're all very, very proud of the effort and work that's gone into it. You know, we're very, very pleased with the end process of this record.
Does it get emotional, Johnny? Do you get emotional?
Yeah, I think we do. Yeah, I think we, you know, I think we, there's a lot of songs on this record that have been wrote around, you know, some sort of personal experiences. So yeah, I think it was quite an emotional process. Don't get me wrong, we weren't sort of sat blubbing in the studio or anything, but I think there was a whole bunch of emotions. And obviously, you know, we've gone through this crazy 18 months with it, like everybody else has, you know, and it's been a real test for us as a band navigating through the chaos of the last 18 months. So yeah, to kind of come out the other side with an album that we're all really pleased with was quite an emotional time for us in a weird way. Yeah,
I can imagine that. I mean, I've spoke to a lot of musicians and bands, and a lot of them said COVID had actually been a bit of a blessing in a strange way for them, allowing them to produce and write much more music.
Yeah, definitely. I think we hit back into 2019. We had a really good year in 2019, and things had started to kind of change for us a little bit in terms of the team around us, and we were starting to get a bit of, you know, momentum. And we had our debut album come out in 2019, and we had lots of stuff going on, and, you know, things were really starting to take off for us. And then obviously COVID came along, and that all went sort of belly up, you know, 2020 essentially just crumbled away before our eyes. And, you know, we had a decision to make, I guess, like a lot of bands and a lot of businesses that, you know, were faced with that challenge. We had to just, you know, either kind of try and navigate our way through it with keeping things going and the momentum of the band, or, you know, like, unfortunately, a lot of bands just weren't able to and sort of, you know, had to either call it a day or whatever. But, you know, we used the opportunity to say, you know, we're not going to have to gig this year. That's kind of accepted. We need to get cracking with writing an album too. You know, we had no intention of really doing that last year, but we used the time to kind of keep as productive as we could be. We spent a lot of time online engaging with our fans because, you know, we're very fortunate. We've got a great fan base. So we spent a lot of time talking to them online and, you know, doing all sorts of kind of Q&As and sort of online videos and things like that, you know, sort of bands do.
Yeah.
And just try to keep productive, you know, keep busy because, you know, we're all sat around bloody not doing a great deal. So we had to try and, yeah, keep us productive and busy as possible. And I think it worked in our favour because we've kind of come out the other side really with an album that we're, as I say, we're really pleased with, and that's coming out soon. And, you know, we've got a crazy schedule of shows later this year. So yeah, hopefully life can get back to some normality and we can keep the momentum of the band going.
Yeah, praise be to that, Johnny. Praise be to that. Is there anyone out there you thought, ooh, I'd love to collaborate with? Is there anyone you'd consider collaborating with in the future?
Like realistically or just dreaming?
Well, a bit of both, realistically perhaps and more in general. You know, has any caught your eye, you thought, you know what, won't mind doing a little collab with them, they'd be all right. Whether it be likely or not, it's up to you. But
yeah, I think we've never really collaborated with anybody, to be honest. We've often had people come along and do like a remix of one of our records or a song, and that's always really interesting to hear somebody's, you know, interpretation of our song. So kind of hearing that is quite good. And we actually had a choir come in on our album this time round. So we had a full kind of set of individuals who are part of this choir in Leeds, and they came and they sang on a few of our records. So collaborating with them was really special, and that was the first time we had somebody else singing on the album. So that was quite an experience. But no, I think sort of collaborating with another band would be really useful and really interesting. I think you know, any sort of bands that are sort of doing well at the moment would be great to kind of do something with. I mean, you know, we'd all love to kind of have Liam Gallagher singing on a record, or, you know, somebody of kind of that kind of status would be amazing. But yeah, you know, we're doing lots of shows this year with the Kaiser Chiefs. So, you know, we might speak to Ricky and see if he fancies singing one of our songs for us or with us on stage one day. But yeah, I guess we're kind of open to anything like that, really.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. Working with the Kaiser Chiefs, I mean, wow, that's just amazing. How did that come around?
Through a bit of nagging from us, I think. a bit of persistent nagging. But no, we kind of, obviously they're a Leeds band. We're a Leeds band. We kind of befriended each other a little bit, I guess, over the course of the last couple of years. And the studio that we work in is actually kind of co-owned by one of the Kaiser Chiefs as well, so we've got a bit of sort of a connection with them. And we did a show in Headingley in Leeds. It was like sort of an independent record store show, and one of the Kaisers came down and sort of watched, and we kind of started chatting and stuff. And yeah, they just invited us to play a couple of shows of them this year. Well, it was originally last year, but obviously got moved to this year. So we're playing with them at the Peace Hall in Halifax for two nights, which will be great because that's, you know, a huge venue, great venue. And then they'll be annoyed of us because we're actually playing then with them on two other festivals within about 2 weeks of each other. So we're with them at the Isle of Wight, and then we're with them at Pub in the Park in London. So yeah, they'll be sick of us by the end of September.
What a venue in Halifax, oh yeah, what a venue.
Yeah, I stood there probably, I don't know, a couple of years ago. I was in Halifax and I'd never seen the Peace Hall. I'd obviously heard lots about it and sort of heard it was a in this kind of really great space with lots of stuff kind of going on around the area. And yeah, I walked into that sort of opening area, and at the time I sort of knew the Kaiser Chiefs gigs were kind of happening, and I thought, bloody hell, this is going to be pretty special. And obviously the first night sold out, so they announced the second night, so it's going to be a crazy couple of nights there. So yeah, it'd be great, looking forward to it.
I bet it'd be great to be back. If you have one message for your fans, just one message, what would your message be to your fans just now?
Thank you. You know, our fans have stuck by us for some fans for a very long time. Others are kind of joining the party, and you know, they just show us so much love and support. You know, you just go on our Twitter feed or our Instagram, you'll see the comments of kind of, you know, love and appreciation of the music. And you know, for a lot of people, told us personally that, you know, during lockdown, that, you know, that our band helped them in some of the dark moments. And you know, wow. we're very grateful to kind of give that to them, but equally, you know, we're so grateful for their support. So you know, long may it continue. Hopefully they're a great set.
Amazing. How can people get hold of any merch or tickets, etc., to see you? How do they get hold of anything? Do you have your own website?
Yeah, all on the website, apollojunction.com. Everything's kind of listed on there, very easy to kind of navigate around. But yeah, apollojunction.com.
And do you guys have your own merch?
We do, yeah, we do. And tomorrow is the opening of our second album. And there's going to be a whole bunch of cool merch bundles on there. So yeah, people will be checking it out from tomorrow, hopefully.
Yeah, they can all get onto the website and get themselves some merch and get a new album as well.
Absolutely. No, defo.
If it wasn't for music, Johnny, what would you be doing?
Oh man, I don't know, probably be depressed. I've never really
walking around leaves me your hands in your pockets and head down.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, life without music, God, that is, that's a sobering thought. I don't know. You know, I really don't know. Yeah. I have to come back to you on that one. I think, you know, when I think about the times that we have as a band now, I'm much more, I guess, you know, when I was a bit younger, kind of took things for granted a little bit, to be honest with you. You know, and I think nowadays when we're in the rehearsal room or we're in the studio or whatever, you know, I try and just take a moment just to kind of really appreciate, you know, if anything, just my friends and the fact that we're in this room kind of doing what we love. So yeah, I try and just take that time to kind of reflect. And we were back in the studio yesterday, starting rehearsals properly for the first time in a while. And yeah, just sort of sitting there and just sort of watching everyone kind of bantering and, you know, just kind of just those moments that you have as a band that, you know, don't mean anything. They're just so simple. You know, you turn up, you grab a brew, you're chit-chatting, you know, bantering and setting up the drums and all that kind of stuff. You know, it's just those moments that are really, I don't know, quite sacred, to be honest. And I hope they continue.
Yeah, you appreciate stuff like that. And it's a small thing you miss. Absolutely. How do you feel social media has impacted on your music and on the band in general?
I think it's impacted massively. Yeah, I think we had a bit of a moment a few years ago now where we realized probably just how important social media is to bands nowadays. And I think we were probably quite a typical band in that we would put something online and just expect people to kind of, you know, like it or comment on it or whatever. And I don't think it works like that anymore. I think bands can't sort of be like that anymore. I think they've got to be seen to be talking to fans and sort of engaging, and you know, we kind of love that. You know, we all, you know, don't take anything for granted. We really love the fact that, you know, we'll get lots of comments on our posts, and we try and respond to every single one, because I think that's how things work nowadays. You know, whether you like it or not, I think social media is a part of our lives, and I think it's how fans interact with bands and artists, yeah, and other people. And you know, we do a lot of our, you know, advertising and pushing of our tickets and whatever through our social media. So it's a way of life for us now. And, you know, we love the fact that we have that relationship with our fans where we can post something and we can almost have a conversation with them straight away about it or whatever it might be, you know. But Yeah, I think so. When we acknowledged that fact a few years ago, we sort of said, you know, we've got to think about how we do social media a bit differently. And yeah, ever since we did that, things did change quite a bit for us. So yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, I mean, a lot of bands I spoke to said one of the great things is they can reach out to other bands and just sit chatting with other bands and getting, you know, talking different genres, different types of music and what's happening and sort of bounce off each other.
Yeah, it's a great way to collaborate. And it's equally, you know, a great space for, well, not a great space, but a space for negativity as well. I think, you know, we're quite fortunate that we don't have, you know, much sort of negative sort of people on the social media stuff. But we have had, you know, things over the last kind of year, 18 months, where you kind of get comments from people where, you know, you just, I don't know, you just kind of, we don't entertain it. You know, we, you know, we're all about positive vibes and we don't want to sort of be brought down by, you know, sort of negative people who don't really have much sort of anything better to do really than just kind of be, you know, sort of try and bring us down. So, you know, it's quite, you know, it's great for some things. It can be quite scary for other things. I think you just got to try and navigate through that and try and keep it all positive.
Absolutely. Keyboard warriors. Johnny, keyboard warriors.
Definitely keyboard warriors. Yeah. I think we've had a few and we just try and we try and keep away from them. Silence is key, I think.
Yeah. Do you still feel radio is an important outlet considering all the platforms that are available now?
I think it is. I think radio is, you know, radio will always have a place, obviously, but I think it is changing. I think, you know, people are turning away from radio and turning to kind of alternative, you know, media. And I think the podcast, the Spotify thing, and, you know, all that kind of streaming stuff is, it's as important as radio. I think we've been quite fortunate that we get played on the radio, you know, every so often, and got a lot of support at sort of Six Music and we were on Radio 2 quite a bit at one point, BBC Radio 2. But yeah, it never really kind of changed things for us. We kind of put a lot of focus into kind of radio. And, you know, at one point we were getting played on BBC Radio 2 on a Saturday morning when Graham Norton was running a show on BBC Radio 2, and he was playing us, and we kind of got some stats that it was like the most listened to, you know, radio show of you know, in the UK. It had something like 18 million listeners or something daft, and we got played on there probably a bunch of times over the course of a couple of months when a single came out, and we all sort of thought, wow, you know, it's kind of been playlisted on here, and it's, you know, it's going to change our lives, you know, we're going to quit our jobs and, you know, get off and tour the world and whatnot.
But
it didn't really do anything for us, you know. It was really surprising. But obviously, as we kind of got a bit older and sort of, you know, understood how things work a little bit more, it's, you know, it things like that don't, you know, it's the whole package of things that kind of comes with kind of trying to make it. But a few spot plays on BBC Radio 2 doesn't change the world for you, unfortunately. We've had far more success with things like Spotify, you know, and really fortunate to have our songs on some of the kind of official Spotify playlists. And we've got a great lady who supports us, a lady called Alison Hagendorf, who's the head of rock music at Spotify. She's a big sort of fan of the band, and she kind of has helped us out with quite a bit over the years with getting our songs onto these official Spotify playlists. And that kind of stuff, I think, is where people are listening to bands like us. And, you know, that kind of thing has changed our band, to be honest, for the better. Yeah.
If there's anybody out there you wish to thank, those that might not get normally seen or heard, is there anybody out there you'd like to thank?
I think, yeah, we're really grateful to everyone who supports the band. I think, you know, we've got a fantastic team around us. You know, our manager, Martin, you know, he kind of the wise counsel in the band. You know, he kind of keeps us on the straight and narrow. We've got our label, Mick, who has got more passion for our band than anyone, more than us, to be honest. But Mick, you know, he's done absolutely amazing things for us. So, you know, personally thank Mick. Yeah, just anyone, like even yourself, you know, thank you for having us on, you know, just taking the time to talk to us and hearing our story. It's, you know, it's really appreciated. And anyone that that's happy to kind of listen to me ramble on. Thank you in advance.
I've looked forward to it, Johnny. We've been looking forward to chatting to you guys. What's the best advice you've ever been given?
A bit of a cliche, really, but just not to give up, really. I think as a band, you know, we've been rejected a billion times from different people over the years, and it's very, very easy to kind of let that kind of end your attempts at kind of doing what you want to do, really. I think I was reflecting on this the other day, actually, and I was kind of thinking about the moments where somebody asked me, have we ever come close to the band kind of breaking up? And I thought, in the sort of the 7 or 8 years that we've been together, I don't think we've ever had the conversation about ending things, other than one occasion where it was very, very early on in the band's career. And we were speaking to a very, very high profile music manager who manages a very, very big band. I can't remember how we got speaking to her, but we ended up speaking to her, and she invited us down to London to play a gig. And obviously we were all really, really buzzing and excited, and God, we thought, wow, this could be a game changer for us, if she takes us on. Obviously we were all very, very nervous, and we turned up in London. She was there already at the venue. We spoke to her for a few minutes before the gig. We went onto the gig, and it was awful. We played, it was terrible. It was so bad. I mean, it wasn't that bad, but to our standards, it was bad. And we were expecting to speak to the lady afterwards, and she wasn't there. She'd gone. The drive back to Leeds that night was obviously really, it was very awkward in the bus. It was quiet and everyone was a little bit kind of somber, and and I think we did sort of come very close to saying at that point, we ballsed it up. That was our one chance to kind of, turn our lives around and turn the band around. And I think reflecting back on it at the time, we were quite a young band. We were incredibly nervous, and I think that kind of probably came out in our performance. We were very kind of rigid on stage, and it was it probably wasn't the performance that we'd hoped for. We had an opportunity at that point to probably give things up, but we spoke to some friends and they said no, it's a knockback, you'll probably get loads of them, so don't give up, keep going. And that's what we've done. We've been knocked back a bunch of times after that, and we just kind of keep going. And that would be my advice to people. In the music industry, it's probably the hardest egg to crack, in terms of trying to make it as a successful artist. And we certainly haven't made, I don't consider us as sort of making it, we're still in that phase of trying to kind of, do something special. But we're getting there, and it's taken us a long time to get here. But keep going and believe in yourself.
Yeah, small steps and don't give up. Absolutely. Mm. What can we expect from the future? What are we working on just now, Johnny? What have you got in the pipeline?
So album 2 is done, as I said. So that comes out on pre-sale tomorrow, and that'll be coming out later this year. So there'll be a lot of focus on sort of the album. So people will be getting sick of probably seeing pictures of the record. But that's going to be coming out. It's going to be on vinyl. It's going to be on all the usual kind of things. So we're going to be looking forward to getting all that done. And then, we sort of hit September. I think back end of July, we've got a festival, our first festival, which is Carfest, with the Chris Evans Festival. So doing that at the end of July. Then we've got a quiet couple of weeks in August, and then September just goes absolutely crazy. I think there's about 15 gigs across about 4 weeks. So it's really, really hectic. So lots of live stuff, and we can't wait, to be honest. It's obviously, we've not done anything live for a while, as no one has, but so then we've got a crazy September. We're playing all over the shop, up and down the country like a yo-yo. And then October goes a little bit quiet, but there's a few things happening in October, which will hopefully be announced in the coming weeks and stuff. And then November, we start our own little tour. So we've got a string of dates that we're doing across the UK, in Liverpool, Manchester, London, Wales, I think. I can't remember all the dates, but a few shows in November. And then we end it with a big headline show in Leeds. So our biggest headline show at the Warehouse in Leeds, which will be a really great kind of gig to almost kind of end the year with.
Come
home and do that, and it's almost sold out, which is literally there's a hand. We got an update the other day on tickets, and it's on the edge of kind of selling out. So yeah, what a feeling to come back to a kind of hometown crowd and put on a, you know, amazing show. So yeah, that's the year. So lots going on. Yeah, crazy times.
Yeah, you're busy. What's your favorite song to perform
of our own songs?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good question. I think originally, so I mean, a lot of the album two, we haven't actually played live yet. And to be fair, we haven't played some of those songs in a room together. Because of the way we recorded the record last year, we obviously had to be a bit careful about, you know, all the social distancing and how many people could be in a room together and all that kind of stuff. So quite often, a lot of the songs would be recorded in a sort of weird way. I would go in and do my drums. Ben would come in and do his bass on a different day, and it would be like that. So we never actually played them in a room together as a full band like we would normally do. And last night we started rehearsing some of the new tunes. You know, Light of the Sky felt the song that I think you opened the show with today. That's an absolute banger to play live. You know, we've never played it live, you know, at a gig, but it felt really good last night kind of playing that. But I think from the old set, original set, Born For Now is always a really good song.
Absolutely love that.
It's a good song to play live to. Good big drums. Normally always goes down really well with the crowd. It's got quite a good quite a good feel to it. So it always feels great playing it live. So yeah, I'll go with Born For Now.
Being a West Yorkshire lad, I have to ask the obvious question. Is it rugby league, rugby or football?
For me personally, probably rugby league. So my old man's a big Leeds Rhinos fan. But in the band, you know, Ben and Jamie are big Leeds United heads. Been following it all their lives. And, you know, I try and get, you know, try and follow it where I can. It's, it's been a great season for Leeds.
It's an amazing city. Leeds is an amazing city. You've got Headingley for Yorkshire cricket. You've got the Leeds Rhinos. You've got Leeds United. It's an amazing city. It's very vibrant, and sport has a major part to play in it.
Oh, it does.
Sadly and tragically, I'm a Bradford Northern fan or Bradford Bulls. They're called Bradford Bulls over here. But I used to go to Oddsall when it was Oddsall Stadium and all them years ago, you know, and I always liked Bradford Northern. And I have played at Elland Road as well, which was good.
Oh, nice. No, yeah, the sport in Leeds, is great. And we've been really lucky that you know, we've had the backing of both Leeds United and Leeds Rhinos to kind of use, you know, we've done quite a lot of stuff at Leeds United over the years in terms of like corporate gigs and they've obviously used our music for various things on their TV channels and their social media stuff. So yeah, same with Leeds Rhinos. So it's been great having, you know, being fans of the clubs, but also having them supporting us is quite a dream come true, to be honest. So yeah, it's been good.
What's the most embarrassing thing to happen to you, and have you got any trouble?
In the band, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh God, there's probably you could probably write a book about the most embarrassing things that have happened to us. I think I think off the top of my head, probably the most embarrassing thing that happened to us, and probably a little bit of me as well, is when we started the band a few years ago now, we shot a music video for Begin, which is actually not the version that is online at the moment. It's an older version that we did. We basically heard about this kind of abandoned kind of warehouse place, and it was kind of completely derelict. You know, it looked like no one had been in there for years. We thought it'd be great to do a music video around here because it's kind of a bit creepy looking, and you know, you could kind of just walk into it. It was, you know, it was kind of an open space. So we walked in there, we sort of set up the gear, and we started filming this video. And the video had theme was this kind of mannequin theme going on. So we had these kind of mannequins dotted around us in the video. And they were kind of naked, but not sort of like rudely naked, just a normal kind of mannequin. So we spent the day there filming, all good. And we packed down the gear, and the mannequins kind of came in two halves. So you basically took the top half off, and you kind of had the bottom half. And we were putting the mannequins into these bin bags that we kind of were transporting. We're transporting them in, and we started kind of walking back to the kind of cars where we were, and the police turned up. Obviously, somebody. I'm not joking. This is a genuinely true story. The police turned up. We put blue flashing lights everywhere. I'm just like, bloody hell. Obviously, someone had reported us being in this building. You know, we were completely innocent. To be fair, you know, we were there. Yes, we didn't know. We probably knew we shouldn't have been there, but we thought it was fairly innocent because it looked so derelict and open. But anyway, the police turned up. They sort of asked us what we were doing. And then Ben walked around, because Ben wasn't with us at this point. He'd gone somewhere else. And he basically walked around the corner to hear what all the commotion was. But under his arm, he had this bin bag with this pair of legs sticking out of it. And the police basically switched their kind of demeanor, because they're being pretty friendly with us at one point. And they sort of said, right, up against the wall, obviously seeing these legs sticking out of this bin bag. We basically had to weirdly, embarrassingly describe what the hell we were doing in this building with a bloody load of naked mannequins. highly embarrassing. But yeah, we kind of look back at it now and laugh. But yeah, it was an interesting.
Yeah, I can absolutely imagine. I can imagine the police's demeanour there. Suddenly the guy walking the corner, kind of carrying the torso of a young female or something. You
exactly,
know?
Exactly. But we were all laughing about it afterwards. I mean, you know, the West Yorkshire police, you know, they're kind of great with stuff like that, and they kind of were sort of laughing about it. And I think we were showing them the video on the camera, and all was well. But yeah, there was a few minutes where I thought, bloody hell, we're going to end up doing time here, you know.
I would have used the CCTV and all my video, and I said, can I have that copy of CCTV? That would look great.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that was fun. That was a fun time. But yeah, many years ago was that. So yeah.
Well, look, Johnny, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you. I look forward to this. Would you like to introduce your latest single?
I would, yeah. Thank you for having us on. Really, really appreciate it. So, yeah, we're Apollo Junction, and this is our latest single, Light Up the Sky.
I'm Dennis Devon. This has been the NMF Podcast in association with BeHeard, clothing.co.uk. I thank Johnny and Apollo Junction. This is Light Up the Sky.
This radio station plays more music like this.
station plays more music like this. Station plays more music like this.
When I think of all the things I didn't do, oh, I can't help but blame it on. Oh, how to cure these February blues.
Good evening. Tonight's show is brought to you in association with Behead Clothing Glasgow. That's beheadclothing.co.uk. Remember, let's speak up and be heard. The NMF Podcast with Dennis Devlin in association with beheadclothing.co.uk. Wow, well, how about that? Another three songs in a row, back to back, and all new on the NMF Podcast in association with beheadclothing.co.uk. That, of course, was Cheer Up Baby by the amazing Inhaler. Before that, you heard The Chase and, of course, Chain Gang, that's their latest track. And kicking all off the three songs in a row, back to back, it was Apollo Junction and Light Up the Sky. Outstanding track. All the music you hear, of course, on tonight's show is available to download and stream for your ears' content and pleasure. I am Dennis. I will see you all again on the NMF Podcast. In the meantime, I bid you all farewell. Good evening. Tonight's show is brought to you in association with Behead Clothing Glasgow. That's beheadclothing.co.uk. Remember, let's speak up and be heard. The NMF Podcast with Dennis Devlin in association with beheadclothing.co.uk. There's something new happening on the terraces. There's a new cult. Terrace Cult Clothing. Check them out now at Terrace Cult Clothing. TerraceCult.com. Behead Clothing Glasgow at beheadclothing.co.uk. Kids sale now on, save up to 50%. Just go to beheadclothing.co.uk, enter promo code KIDS50. That's Behead Clothing Glasgow at beheadclothing.co.uk.
You're listening to the NMF Podcast with Dennis Devlin.